This week on Vaticano, discover how up-and-coming journalists dedicated 10 days in Rome to becoming excellent communicators. Hear from the EU's first religious freedom envoy on Europe's inadequate efforts to ensure religious freedom. And explore Rome to see the lasting impact of St. Philip Neri's zeal. For this and more, Vaticano starts now. On the final day of the 50th social week of Italian Catholics, the Holy Father traveled to the northern Italian city of Trieste on Sunday to share his thoughts on the crisis of democracy. The annual event is organized by the Catholic Church in Italy and is dedicated to promoting Catholic social doctrine. This year, the title of the event was At the Heart of Democracy. Addressing over 1,000 delegates from different dioceses and associations across Italy, Pope Francis focused on Christian engagement in politics and the need for courage to make proposals on behalf of justice and peace in the public debate.
We need to be a voice that denounces and advocates in a society that is often silent and where too many have no voice. So many have no voice. This is political charity, which is not content with treating the effects, but seeks to address the causes.
After delivering the concluding address, Pope Francis then held a private meeting with a group of nearly 150 migrants and people with disabilities. Presiding over Holy Mass for approximately 8,500 people in the Unità d'Italia Square in Trieste, the Holy Father stressed that the world needs a faith that is not indifferent to the problems of this world, a faith that enters history, touches people's lives, and becomes a leaven of hope and a seed for a new world.
Brothers and sisters, above all, we need a faith that disrupts the calculations of human selfishness, that denounces evil, points out injustices, and challenges the schemes of those who exploit the weak from the shadows of power.
Nestled between the Adriatic Sea and Slovenia, the location of the port city has made it a common arrival point for migrants coming to Europe through the Balkans. Referencing Trieste's welcome of immigrants, the Holy Father praised the city for being an open door to migrants and to all those who struggle the most. Pope Francis insisted that God is found precisely in the dark corners of our lives and of our cities, and among the least, the forgotten, the discarded.
We offer world-class education to children who can never afford it. We're the first ones in the world to offer the IB, the International Baccalaureate, free of charge in a slum. And we do that because we believe that education is only powerful as a tool of social change if it challenges the status quo.
In memory of Joaquin Navarro Valls, a physician, journalist, and longtime Vatican Press Office director, the Biomedical University Foundation presented the second International Navarro Valls Award for Leadership and Benevolence to Lina Tombolato Doris and Niccolò Govoni.
We want, in some way, to keep remembering the figure of Joaquin Navarro Valls, and also everything that Joaquin Navarro Valls represents, which also means the pontificate of John Paul II, by rewarding people who truly know how to make a positive impact on society and promote good.
Lina Tombolato Doris founded the Ennio Doris Foundation in 2022 to honor her late husband. The foundation supports disadvantaged children, offers scholarships, and assists families and the elderly, leaving a lasting community impact. Upon receiving the award, she said, "I want to tell young people to dream, to look to the future with hope and confidence, and to plan for tomorrow without getting lost in despair or in the face of difficulties that are a part of life." Niccolò Govoni, born in 1993, is the president and CEO of the Still I Rise Association, founded in 2018 on Samos, Greece. The NGO opens schools for refugee and vulnerable children, operating in Syria, Kenya, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Yemen, Colombia, and India.
I think when we talk about humanitarian aid, sometimes we only talk about health and food and shelter, which are of course life-saving, but then that doesn't really emancipate a person, right? What changes a life is the ability, the instruments to truly free yourself from any kind of constraints, even from humanitarian aid itself. So I think the moment you educate a person, that person is free forever.
The award ceremony took place at the Prodomoteca Hall of the Capitoline Museums in Rome.
Hello and welcome to this week's Vaticano Update, the most important news from the Holy Father and the Vatican. Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano has been excommunicated for schism due to his refusal to recognize Pope Francis and the Second Vatican Council. The Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith declared the automatic lete sententiae excommunication on July 4, 2024, after concluding the penal process against him. Vigano's public rejection of the Pope and Church communion prompted this decision. The Apostolic See reserves the right to lift the excommunication, which was communicated to Vigano on July 5, 2024. The Holy See Press Office has released the Instrumentum Laboris, the guiding document for the second session of the 16th Ordinary General Assembly of the Synod in October. This document emphasizes transparency, accountability, and the role of women in the Church. Its goal is to make the Church more synodal and more mission-oriented, involving all baptized members in its life. The document is divided into five sections focusing on synodality, relationships within the Church, formation paths, and dialogue. Notably, it calls for greater recognition of women's roles and broader participation in ecclesial decision-making processes. Archbishop Edgar Peña Parra testified for the third and final time at Britain's Royal Court of Justice, stressing the Holy See was a victim of serious fraud in a London property purchase. This session is part of an ongoing trial concerning the Sloane Avenue property, which continues until July the 18th. Pope Francis has expressed his deep distress by the escalating violence in Ukraine and Gaza. He lamented attacks on medical centers in Kyiv, including the largest children's hospital and a school in Gaza. The Pope fervently hopes and prays for concrete solutions to end these conflicts and has consistently appealed for peace, sending Vatican envoys and humanitarian aid. The Dicastery for the Doctrine of Faith has approved the apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary to Pirina Gili, which took place in Montichiari and Fontanelle, Italy, in 1947 and 1966. Pope Francis endorsed the letter from Cardinal Victor Manuel Fernandez, affirming that these visions align with the Church's doctrine. The letter includes excerpts from Gili's diaries, detailing the apparitions and their insights. Fernandez emphasized that Gili's writings reveal her humble and unwavering trust in Mary's maternal care. Thank you so much for watching this week's Vaticano Updates. Paola Riaza for EWTN Vaticano.
In a few moments, we'll return with a special look at the EWTN Summer Academy that took place in the Eternal City on Vaticano. Striving to capture the essential and hitting the streets to walk the digital roads and always listening to the people they encounter. That's how Pope Francis describes the task of journalists. The Holy Father, in his message to Vatican reporters, emphasized the importance of not sugarcoating tensions, but at the same time, not creating unnecessary noise. His remarks highlight an ongoing crisis in which recent polling confirms that only 7% of adults in the Western world have a great deal of trust in the news media, and 38% have no trust at all. The question arises in Catholic media, how can the faithful respond to growing concerns, re-establish dedication to the truth, and renew hope in the field of journalism? Rising Catholic journalists traveled to Rome to participate in the third edition of the EWTN Summer Academy that aims to train the next generation of Catholic journalists.
We come from all over the world. There are people coming from Iraq, from Asia, from Europe, from the United States, and then we all come here together for the same mission, which is we want to spread Christianity using the power of the media.
Jesse, 40 journalists from over 20 countries studied, collaborated on scripts, and worked in teams to produce, shoot, and edit videos, all while taking a deeper dive into their faith. Each of the participants was accepted after a rigorous application process. Only the best and most promising candidates were accepted.
It's been such a blessing meeting Catholics from all over the world who also love their faith, love the Lord, and are passionate about journalism. And the Summer Academy has brought us together. Hopefully, we'll be friends forever.
The EWTN Summer Academy has been amazing to bring together all these like-minded Catholics who are just as passionate as I am in spreading Christianity using the power of the media. So it's such a gift to meet all these people of diverse backgrounds, gifts, and ministries, and then to be gathered here in the heartland of the Catholic Church in Vatican City to be invested in and empowered to be sent forth to our own home countries and communities to make an impact in for Christ in the Church.
The program focuses on hands-on practice, camera work, video editing, script writing, and on-camera reporting. It also delves into the spiritual and today's issues facing Christians. How do we cover hot-button issues? How do we become 21st century apologists? How do we engage with the faithful around us? Scheduled events also offer a better understanding and appreciation for the Petrine Ministry and the Vatican. At the general audience, each of them trained their skills by interviewing pilgrims and looking for stories.
I think that one of my favorite experiences from the Summer Academy has been the general audience, where we watch the Pope's message. Certainly, we're there to enrich our faith, but also practiced doing journalism, which is what we are called to as Catholic journalists.
The Summer Academy serves also as a kickoff point for participants. They will now join their peers from previous years in a vibrant alumni community with regular meetings and continuous education. All of this will be instrumental to having a future generation of journalists that will be able to capture the essential.
The answer is not far, and it lies in the Catholic youth. Located only steps away from St. Peter's Basilica, highlighting how a change in pontificate...
The aim of the EWTN Summer Academy is to gather young Catholic journalists, provide knowledge, boost faith, and create an alumni community. Participants can stay in touch, help each other, and share their passion for journalism and faith.
I'm here at the Summer Academy because I want to both grow in my faith, learn how to cover the Catholic Church in a more honest way. I also want to help spread the word of the Catholic Church and bring people closer to Christ. It's a big picture.
The campus, situated on the Janiculum Hill in Rome, offers a stunning view of St. Peter's Basilica. The next edition of the EWTN Summer Academy is scheduled for July of next year. A longtime lawmaker in the European Union says the body isn't doing enough to promote and protect the freedom of religion. The European Union's first religious freedom envoy was the Slovakian politician Jan Figel. He told EWTN that his appointment to the role in 2016 inspired other countries to take the promotion of religious freedom abroad more seriously. EWTN spoke to Jan Fiegel of Slovakia.
You have been the first special envoy for religious freedom or belief for the European Union. Is there being done enough today in Europe and maybe around the world to protect religious freedom?
Definitely not enough is done by European Union and its member states. When I was first ever EU special envoy, this issue was visible and I think also effective for those who suffer. Messages, even life-saving, was part of our agenda and results. Now there is very little voice heard or activities seen from European Union, and that's detrimental. I think European Union, after elections, should establish not only envoy, but a very visible and effective policy agenda on freedom of religion or belief for all. This should be part of external action, international development, maybe in tandem with United States, which have 25 years of good story and very strong experience with this agenda. I think it's a must if we want to stay credible in the area of human rights. This is litmus test of all human rights.
Why is it important to speak more about human dignity?
We live in times of controversies and ideologies, and there is more and more misinterpretation of human rights. We believe that they are universal, they are interrelated, indivisible, etc. And the base of our human rights is dignity. And therefore, understanding of dignity, promotion of dignity, education on dignity is very much needed. And therefore, I propose Human Dignity Day as part of the initiative, which is already visible, because there was a Punta del Este Declaration on Human Dignity for Everyone, Everywhere adopted in 2018 as a part of commemoration of the UDHR, but also recommitment to the UDHR. And now, after 5 years, we are again invited to do more.
Just recently, the Vatican also published a new document on dignity called Dignitatis Infinita. Can you tell us a little bit more how this is related to human dignity and what you're asking?
There is strong and deep nexus between human dignity and religious freedom. And I will recall another document of the Holy See, or better to say, Second Vatican Council from 1965, called Dignitatis Humanae. Document on religious freedom. And this again confirms this nexus and importance of religious freedom for living together in peace and in community. Because every one of us has rights and duties which start with freedom of thought, freedom of conscience, and freedom to believe or not to believe, to have convictions. And all other rights are subsequent.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We'll be back after a short break with a highlight on one of Rome's most beloved saints, Saint Philip Neri, on Vaticano. Throughout its history, the Church has endured profoundly difficult times marked by persecutions, betrayals, and human frailties, challenges potent enough to bring an end to any mere human endeavor. The dawn of the 16th century represented one such tumultuous period. However, as with every challenging epoch in the Church's history, Providence once again intervened. One of the pivotal figures who aided this resurgence of Rome and the Church was Philip Neri, a native of Florence, who arrived in Rome in 1533. Father Maurizio Botta, prefect of the Congregation of the Oratory in Rome, sheds light on the life of this man, who has since become one of the most cherished saints in the Eternal City.
A saint who had a great ability to be with everyone and with ease. However, also this tendency to recollection, silence and not isolation, but to seek Jesus in secret.
St. Philip's profound love for Christ and for souls inspired him to reform the customs of a city mired in distress, illuminating its streets with acts of charity and patience.
St. Philip Neri, to understand him in depth, we must start from his very powerful love for Christ. So much so that just before he died, his last words were, "Whoever seeks and does not seek Christ does not know what he seeks. Whoever wants and does not want Christ does know what he wants. Whoever does things and does not do them for Christ does not know what he does."
St. Philip Neri also gained popularity for his likability and keen sense of irony. Father Simone Rapponi admires this aspect of St. Philip's demeanor and underscores its significance.
These irony, these playfulness of St. Philip is a deeply spiritual trait. It is an irony rooted in the awareness, as the scripture says, that everything is vanity, vanity of vanities, that everything passes, that everything, offices, honors, wealth and success, sooner or later passes for everyone. And then, when we realize this, we can look at existence paradoxically with greater serenity and even try to smile at what happens and even smile at ourselves. It is not a joy that is the result of psychological exaltation, but it is a joy that is the result of a deep faith that in the end, what remains, who remains, is only the Lord.
In 2015, commemorating the fifth centenary of the saint's birth, Pope Francis spoke about the pivotal role Philip Neri played in reminding the church that pastors should be present with their flock and guide them in their faith. Pope Francis described St. Philip Neri as a bright model of the church's enduring mission in the world.
St. Philip gets to know people freely in a spontaneous way. These people are drawn to him in true friendship. And from this Christian friendship, the oratory is born. From this center, born spontaneously, the first priestly vocations also begin to arise. The first disciples, I think of Cesare Baronio, who is very famous. I think of Francesco Maria Taruggi, the two first disciples of Saint Philip Neri, who become priests, and these first priests around Saint Philip will be at the origin of the congregation.
The Oratory of St. Philip, which arose next to Santa Maria in Vallicella, was built precisely around the saint's relics. Father Maurizio Botta shows us St. Philip's room, where we can admire all these relics.
This was the bed of St. Philip. There were two palanches that were separated and the four planks resting on top. This is the mattress. There are his pillows and his shoes. This is the cross that Philip held in his hands at the time of his death. Now let's move on to the 1500s, from the 1600s to the 1500s. The mass bell. And here we have the chalice of St. Philip, with which he celebrated Holy Mass.
Even today, Romans have a great devotion to this saint and often come to pray at his tomb, which is located in a chapel in Santa Maria in Vallicella.
Those who enter by praying in St. Philip's Chapel have all the indulgences that can be gained by going on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. And so evidently, it was perceived not only by the Oratory Fathers, but also by the Church The strength of this body of St. Philip is its attractiveness that continues in a very discreet, very silent, very humble way. Even now, many Romans feel St. Philip is an important saint for them.
St. Philip Neri was precisely the figure Rome required. He rejuvenated faith and hope among the people and continues to remind us today of the central role the Eternal City plays in the economy of salvation.